Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Michael.
Wow, the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, it's just loud, so stand back. Stand back. Wait. She's throwing a tomato at me.
She's throwing a tomato at you?
Yeah, watch out.
That's all right. Did she hit him? No, she didn't. No, no. Okay. Duck and weave, Grandpa. Duck and weave.
Grandpa, don't say that.
That's Al Gear.
Jacob, he's about that age. Don't say that.
Huh? Doug, you're not anywhere near Grandpa age.
Jake's 21.
Well, like, it could happen. That doesn't mean that it's going to.
Yeah, let's just skip this conversation.
You want to skip the conversation?
Moving on.
Because we're not ready. We're not ready to elect somebody by the name of Papa Schoolcheck.
Papa.
Yeah, Papa.
Papa.
Papa Schoolcheck.
Yeah, someday.
So, how does it feel to be the not first selectman?
Surreal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So if you just feel weird?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit right after that, when we left, and it does feel weird. I think I've settled into it, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't feel the need to have to solve problems or run into a room. But, you know, I kind of wish, or at least I hope, I was never that politician anyways. I mean, I hope that I helped solve problems and worked with people, but I certainly think that...
No, your phone. Just move. Yeah. There you go.
I certainly think that... the town's going in the right direction, and I talk with Todd a couple times a week. We try to stay in touch. I talk to all the leaders in all the different towns we represent in the 45th.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a special affection for the town. I miss it, Mike.
So we have a selectman that's on board now. It was a little difficult, I think, to work with. And we got this little soundbite from Ed Burke just last week.
I'm a sniper. I don't believe that you go out and tell everybody exactly what you plan to do.
Okay, that was so
I'm a sniper. I don't
a sniper?
Believe that you go out and tell everybody exactly what you plan to do.
You're going to have some good material this year. Holy mackerel.
Oh, that was an answer to a question when we had him here at the station. And
mm-hmm.
And he comes out with that, I'm a sniper.
Yeah, I asked him, I said, Ed, how do you feel about euthanasia?
I'm a sniper. I don't believe.
Did you say snipper?
You go out and tell everybody exactly what you plan.
I don't know
to
if
do.
You want to sign up with me. So with castration, you can start snipping with me.
Oh,
that's some funny stuff, man.
God. So, Ed, how do you feel about the current Board of Finance?
I'm a sniper. I don't believe that you it you doesn't. Go out and tell everybody exactly
so every,
what you plan to do.
Every answer
or,
is
or Ed. How are you going to make Grizzle great?
Oh, God.
I'm a sniper.
I'm a sniper. He used to
you don't tell everybody what you're going to do.
Yeah. Got a plan, though.
He came in here. I'm going to fix Griswold. And he screamed it.
Yeah.
So.
I got to tell you, and that election's done, and he's in office, and whatever it is. The reality is, Grizzle wasn't that broken.
It's not broken.
All right. I mean, I think we've all collectively, those that served, Al, you, me, and for that matter, Todd, who's been serving as an employee, and Steve Merchant, who's been there forever, we've all done a heck of a good job to get this town going forward. So his assertions were sort of ludicrous. I think they really didn't have a lot of basis. But, in a campaign, people say a lot of things, and it is what it is.
Remember, he said we didn't have any town events.
So. Yeah, no town events, right. Because, the 40-plus thousand people a year that come through our town events free, that Ryan Aubin and Sean and the radio station helps promote, and the activities that we've put on the calendar, Al. We don't do much here.
No. Yeah, I didn't understand that whole statement. As a matter of fact, when we were done with the interview with him that one day, somebody came in and said, "Do you not like him or something?" I went, "No, why?" Because I was told that I was kind of all over him.
Well, you get defensive, especially for me. I get defensive when, and I've been warned about this going into this, this election here. I get defensive. I'm a fighter. I'm not a sniper. I'm a fighter. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to punch you. So, anyways, the reality is.
Oh,
We took a lot of pride. I think everyone in this room, I've seen you guys go out and help set up the events. You help tear them down. You promote them. Yeah, for someone to make that comment, you know what? Get in your car once in a while and come a little further down Taylor Hill and see what's going on. I mean,
even when we shut down the street for bike night and all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get through, so you're probably driving towards it anyways. Mm. And you probably see it.
I don't know. See, anyways, it sounds maybe he's getting better updated now as he's serving.
I hear bike night might be... It was under some scrutiny.
I heard that as well. I heard that as well.
You know, about the possibility of having alcohol at the event. Or
we never had alcohol at the event. I don't know where the confusion is, but I heard some people, and I know there's some people in the borough.
Or open containers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a Connecticut State Police law. You know, that's something for them to enforce. Mm-hmm. And I, as an establishment that owns a place now, can tell you quite certainly, you don't allow alcohol off your premises where it's not permitted to be. And so if that's the issue, then you need to address that issue. To kill a great event like that that's built a reputation would be really going backwards. In my opinion, she's just not really smart.
Mm-hmm. You know, the people that own these establishments like yourself, mm-hmm. Crankies and that, mm-hmm. Altones, mm-hmm. They ultimately it's on them to police their own.
Right.
And
right.
I don't try to do so.
And we never promoted open container drinking. Hey, come on down to downtown Jewett City. We're going to do shots on Main Street. That's not what we said. And so, yeah, it's just a little confusing. I think, you know, I got to tell you, Al, Republican or Democrat, sometimes it's just the bitterness that you taste from people. Mm. And sometimes people are just bitter. I don't know, you know, and it's kind of it's sad because I think those are good things for the town. Now, if there's things to fix, Mike, if that's an issue, let's work together and fix it. But to kill it, I hope they don't go in that direction.
Yeah.
That'd be sad.
That would be
I think they'll have a revolt, to be honest with you.
I think there's ways of maybe fixing it better, maybe.
Talk to the owners and say, hey, you're having this event. Make sure you're extra responsible. And if someone actually, by the way, I know this is crazy. This is really crazy. People could actually go to a package store and bring it in their own pockets.
Yes.
What? Imagine that.
They
right?
probably have it in their pockets.
Right? I mean, so, but now if we're going to paint a picture that all bikers are just hell-raising, mm-hmm. you know, crazy people, that's just not a fact. It's disingenuous. Look what that has done for the economy in Middletown. And I say the economy, it's a small spike, but it's community events too. And it's done wonderful things in Killenly. Putnam does it. We shouldn't run away from this.
No.
But
that's for sure. I agree. And the events that have happened have been smooth.
We've had no issues, never had an arrest out of one of these events.
They've been very smooth. They're very, very smooth.
I just hope that they think open-minded and require the businesses to come to a meeting and say, hey, if you're not require, but ask them rather, and be a part of the solution. Don't be, you know, just throwing, I guess, daggers.
Or darts.
Darts in the wind.
So speaking of throwing darts.
Yeah.
And darts in the wind and maybe hitting targets.
Mm-hmm.
Are you running for the 45th district seat again?
So yeah, we're here for that big announcement, and I appreciate everyone for coming out this morning.
I'll say
a sniper. I don't believe that you go out and tell everybody exactly what you plan to do.
See,
all right. So you know, I'm not a sniper.
You plan to run.
I pretty much am hard on the sleeve kind of guy. Look, and we kind of put it off. I was going to talk about this last week. I kind of planned to wait till I did the Department of Corrections commencement speech, which was an awesome experience. Having, you know, retired from the corrections and being asked to go back as a keynote speaker was awesome. I did explore quietly working with some folks on a lieutenant governor's run. Not going to happen this year. I wouldn't say that I would discount opportunities in the future, but right now we're not focused on that. We're focused on submitting our paperwork this week. And yes, can't be running for re-election for the 45th district.
Okay. So the other rumor is that
Steve Micotel is running.
There you go. I talked to Steve yesterday, and Steve said to me, even though you guys were in the same room, didn't look like you guys exchanged any kind of dialogue together.
I don't
really
care for the man. I think he's a disgusting example of what a real politician is.
And Steve had said to me that he is – well, no, your views are your views, so – and that's pretty much what got you at 6 years so far, straight up and moving up that political line.
I meet a lot of career politicians on the Republican side and the Democratic side, and they stink. They're the problem in our country, in our state, in the system. They get into positions. They think they're heir apparents to it. They think they're the only ones, the throne belongs to them. And, I'm not sounding bitter. I'm sounding real. And I know I'm speaking what most people think. Steve Micotel has a famous reputation for never paying for anything. Okay? If you go to a breakfast with him or a dinner with him, anyone that knows this guy will tell you. He's kind of the guy that goes like this and slides the, you know. And I got to tell you, I tried really hard when I first got in office as a first selectman, when he was on the board of selectmen, when he called me the new boy on the block, new kid on the block.
I think it was.
Yeah, so I guess I was going to belt out in song every time I was in performing with him.
New kid in town.
Yeah, Nick and him. And but I got to tell you, and I, you know, after you serve, you kind of let go of it, you know, in that position. After you serve with somebody, you can kind of move on. I learned so many valuable lessons of the wrong way to do it from Steve Micotel in a lot of ways. And, you know, I remember when we first started talking about Narcan and Grizzle Pride. And I was flat out told that, you know, Grizzle Pride wasn't needed, you know.
And this is by?
Oh, Steve Micotel said it, okay. You know, and definitely said that, you know, we don't have a heroin problem. We got a marijuana problem. And that's just how disconnected he was at the time. And, you know, I, you know, pretty confident that the tape's out there, but he made a comment one day about don't use Narcan, just let him overdose. That's how you deal with it. You know, these are the comments that come from people like that. You know, and you know I was passionate about Pride. I mean, we made that happen, mm-hmm. and I'm proud of that in the town. But a career politician to me is somebody who wants everyone to believe he or she is the most important person and the only person that can do it. You know, Steve Micotel tried to, and you can ask folks in the Republican Party, he tried to switch to be a Republican last year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He tried to switch to be a Republican. And, you know, I think he's going to have to be called out by his Democratic Party. I know that I didn't switch my party, but I got cross-endorsed by Democrats because I went into their living room, right, spoke to them directly. And in the town, I served not just Republicans and Democrats. I served everybody, right? So I think he's got a lot more questions this time than he's ever had, and he's going to have to answer them. Now, I'm not going to be mean. I think his wife is a sweet lady. I think his family are very good friends with most of his family or his wife's family. I speak to them quite often. We all share the same sentiment. Why are you doing this? I think he announced that he left for medical reasons.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't necessarily know if that's behind him. That's a question for him to ask. I don't know. I will stay to the facts. I will not be mean, but I'll be direct. And I'll answer questions about him, what I know. I can't answer anything I don't know. He is a career politician who wants to be in charge. He wants to have that. And, you know, I think there's a little bit, Mike, a little bit of that. I've been somewhat successful because of the people around me, period. I agree. I acknowledge that. I think there's a little bit, you know, take, for example, the American ambulance. If you remember, there was three votes against that, or four, whatever it was. The two votes that were against it at the table were Phil, and I'm not picking on Phil because I go down and use Phil all the time for my hardware needs and local hardware store, and I smile and we talk nicely, and pass is the pass. But Steve tried to blow that up that night. He didn't want to, because I was able to do something, right, that wasn't able to be done. And that's a Steve Micotel career politician move. You can't have no credit. I don't want credit. I just want to be a part of a team of solutions and problem solving. But I not only faced it with that, UCFS, that project never would have happened. Never would have happened if he didn't get promised that they'll name a bathroom after him. Okay? These are the pathetic things that he's done over the years. And this is business. It's not personal. I'm not picking on him for any personal issues. But if he's going to run against me, I'm going to share the story that I know. And if I don't get elected and the people want Steve Micotel, God bless you. Come on down to Pub 45 and have a drink. Simple as that.
That's kind of what we did last
time. There we go.
Well, what do you? I mean, how else do I approach it? I'm not going to knock on 10,000 doors. I'm going to knock on the appropriate doors. I'm going to connect with the people. I'm going to hear what they want to hear. They want, and I'm going to do what I've been doing, which is serving the district completely and honestly. And if you look at our voting record, I voted every time.
100%.
I voted against tax increases. I never supported anything that went against this district's desire when I built that top 10 list. And we'll continue to do that. And, you know, I just think that we're excited about finishing what we started. I don't see myself, you know, I can't say I wouldn't run another term. I don't see myself running more than two more terms, definitely. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you right now, the last thing we want to do in Connecticut, and I'm going to kind of lay it out there, is to give the House or the Senate back to the Democrats. And I'm going to tell you why. And Steve's going to claim, I'm telling you, a page out of his book, I know what he's going to do. He's going to claim he's the conservative Democrat. He doesn't vote with his party. Well, he did vote for budget increases and tax increases. I have his record. Mm. It's very easy. You can get that. You know, you can get that online. But the last time he didn't. He supports guns. I do. He would certainly support the death penalty not being overturned. Well, I put in a bill to overturn the overturn and bring it back so we can get Sniper back to work.
Sniper.
So
Swiper, sorry.
When you start to really analyze, right, and as we get into this campaign season, it's going to be interesting because what's the difference? What are the differences between what he's going to bring and I'm bringing? Age and wisdom, maybe. I don't necessarily know if it's the wisdom that we're looking for. Is it experience? What did I do wrong that he thinks he now is the heir apparent to the throne? So that's what he's going to have to explain, not me. I know what I'm doing. I'm staying focused. I'm staying on task. I'm not going to get into the weeds and be rude and be mean-spirited, but I will answer and be direct about why I believe I'm the best candidate.
So one sentence, just one sentence.
Certainly.
Why is Kevin Schoolcheck a better candidate than Steve Mike Cutell for the 45th District? One sentence.
Can I do a run-on?
No, one sentence.
Simply, we don't want real career politicians representing us anymore, and I'm not that. I'm simply one of us. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's a run-on sentence. At the end of the day, I know that I represent this district. I know when I interact with people. Here's a great example, okay? I gave you that. No, but I have to finish, Mike. I don't go to events just to be seen. I go to events because I'm either invited or I belong there. I don't go to events like birthday parties for people just to be seen. I don't go to a coffee shop in the morning purposely to sit down with what I perceive as people who are important. Mm-hmm. I talk to them people every day. I don't do this as a career or a job. I do it because it's who I am. I'm real. I'm not a pretend puppet that drives around in my Audi and yearns for a plate to be on there again. You want the plate? Take the plate. I don't need a plate. I just want to do my job. And I want to represent people, period. That's what I am. I'm you. I'm Al. I'm not Sean, but I'm you and Al. And I'm a little bit of Sean. I don't know. But I do. I mean, hey, listen. I can go anywhere in this district, and I'll guarantee you this. I know a lot of people. I don't ask them for favors. I don't try to get my agenda going forward with that. People want to help us? Well, thank you. If people don't, thank you. Move on. If we disagree, okay. But I know I connect better with people than my opponent, if it is Steve Mike Cutell. Now, hey, let me tell you something. If Tracy Hansen ran this year, I got to tell you, Tracy would be better prepared to run. She's a very soft, genuine, honest woman who I respect and have worked with on different projects. And you wouldn't see this kind of reaction. Okay? It's the career politician that's got me agitated. Period.
Gotcha. All right.
And some could say I'm a career politician, right, Mike?
No, you're not. Well, you're not. I don't think you are at all.
I hope not.
Not at all.
I put terms on myself. I mean,
I don't think
I waffled on this whole selectman thing. I was going to run. I'm not going to run. You know what? I did the right thing, and I walked away.
I think you like what you do. I think you like what you do. I think you like going to Hartford, and I think you like participating.
100%.
And I think you like helping. I don't think you're a career politician.
You know, we're at a point in Connecticut. You're getting from a break? I'm sorry.
I've been trying to for 10 minutes.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Apparently, the hip thing to do these days is to appeal to millennials by using their language. So it may sound sus, but Wolverine Radio is an on-fleek way for your squad to stay woke. We know the struggle is real, so keep it real and be hashtag entertained. We won't swerve on you and promise not to be salty. But it'd be savage and totes perf. Sorry, not sorry. So hang with Wolverine Radio all day as you attempt to do some adulting.